Hi, if you want to listen to just the poem portion of this podcast, fast forward to the 7 minute, 55 second mark. All right, bye. Isolated. Isolated is an adjective. Far away from other places, buildings, or people. Remote. In a lot of stories, biographies, folk tales, and more, there's a sense of romanticism when it comes to conquest, happiness, the hero's journey, and the abundance of an overall good, content life. The reason I use the terminology romanticism is because there's this dream in all of us to have a story well written, like we see in movies and shows, where the protagonist achieves their goals and ends off happy with the life they live. Never giving a thought at all about the journey itself, but the ending. Oftentimes in these stories or shows or movies, there's help for the protagonist and tasks. Maybe some prophecy to help guide them. They have friends and the support of loved ones. In complex cases, their enemies or antagonists help them reach their end goal. They are supported and influenced with the things and the people around them, ultimately helping and building the final act for the hero in which they become better and different when they first started off. They become stronger. There is, however, an odd misinterpretation of a more effective approach to the hero's journey, and oftentimes seen more negatively than positive. It's intimidating. It warrants a you versus you role. It's the art of isolating oneself to become something better, to understand you like no other will. This is what I like to call an introduction to yourself. Now, I know some of you guys might be confused, so I'll help out just a little bit. In anime, there's always this idea of the hero acknowledging themselves. Normally, it's when stakes are high or a great loss fell upon them, forcing them to lose the support they once had and being thrusted into a room all by themselves. A room filled with their thoughts, their emotions. Tackling isolation can be seen not only as a physical training battle, but also a mental. In Dragon Ball Z, there's this place called the Hyperbolic Time Chamber. The characters utilize this room in order to gain strength significantly quicker in order to oppose a solar system level threat. This chamber was actually a space beyond their own dimension, where time moved differently. 24 Earth hours was a year in the chamber. The chamber in the show was depicted as this barren void of nothing, a blank space. What's interesting about this is the characters that began to train in this environment train thinking of their loved ones, the lives at stake. They talk to themselves about their flaws, their strengths, their weaknesses, oftentimes leading them to an uncomfortable battle within themselves, in their dreams, in their training, through pain, an acknowledgement of what they were and who they wanted to become. They became stronger. They had to leave the worldly desires in order to better themselves. In other words, they were isolated. Is this still confusing? In the Bible, it heavily talks about this internal battle. Jesus Christ, the perfect man, was baptized and afterwards decided to better understand himself by fasting in the wilderness for 40 days and nights. He took his time to pray to understand his purpose, how he could better reach the people around him. He reflected on himself and even had an internal battle with evil worse than death, tempted and challenged on his possibilities, what he was capable of, and acknowledging the rightful truth he was able to stand his ground. And afterwards came out acknowledging himself and what he needed to be. In other words, he isolated himself to grow and understand. This is depicted multiple times, not just by him, but people like Moses in the burning bush, or Job, who, after losing everything, stood on his own with an ached heart to better understand himself, to question everything and seek healing from himself and God. This idea of self-reflection. Buddha shows this as well with his own version of understanding one's self internally through meditation and enlightenment. Wandering around Asia and understanding collective teachings, but also isolating himself in order to find inner peace. Miyamoto Musashi, the unbeatable Ronin that battled in 60-plus duels, often resulted in a kill, and he spent the last half of his life as a poet and wanderer, often fascinated with peace and nature, from bitter to noble and humble. Silver Surfer, a comic book Marvel hero, often ventures on his own, exploring the universe and wandering the vastness of it all. I can go on and on about examples of isolation, but why is it looked down upon? It's simple. Us as humans have a hard time when it comes to confrontation. We lack sympathy, oftentimes for ourselves, and shut down bad memories or actions we've taken in the past. Being alone is often seen as depressive because it warrants holding your own weight with no support but your own. We oftentimes have a hard time dealing with our mental battles because of the chaos we think. You ever heard the saying, "I am my biggest critic"? It's to say that we aren't as accepting of ourselves as we should be. This leads to a certain fear, a fear that operates like a lock and key to progression. Did you notice earlier I said because of chaos? This was intentionally worded. I'll give you an example. How often do you randomly have an embarrassing moment that pops in your head and it leaves you about ready to bang your head against the wall or cringing to death? Or how often have you thought about a moment in your life that was traumatic for you and left you worried and panicked? You begin to add to this chaos when you talk negatively about the situation, and furthermore, if you speak negatively on yourself. So how is this combated? How can we as a person combat the chaos? I have a question to that question. Have you ever decided to not think of anything, to simply sit in stillness? Anytime negative thoughts happen, it's because we overthink. But what happens if, for once, we sat in stillness? To sit in a void of nothing, peace, and absolute silence. To be able to organize our thoughts. To pray so concise and so sound. An even better question, when was the last time you sat alone? To be by yourself. To face you. To introduce you to yourself. I can say personally, I've been lacking when it comes to confrontation of me. Often I bottle things up and leave things unspoken and unfinished. It's like instead of throwing away my trash, I crumble it up and litter. As of late, I've been trying to get right with myself, right with my journey, to heal and grow, to sit in a place isolated from it all, to be content. I hope that with effort, I can ascend in strength, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. And with that, I hope this poem is something that helps more than hurts. And I hope I can hear from you guys and your takes on what it means to develop and grow. I hope you guys enjoy. I think with all this anger and pain, it's hard to situate my life. Cutting chains of dread with overnight feel-goods and distractions. I take long actions and sweep my past under the rug after the fact and grow bitter because the dust takes more space than litter with no tools to evaporate the filth. My teeth jitter because I dread the me in the mirror. And when I finally take a look at myself, all I gotta do is blow and the fake me melts. If you noticed, I spelt out my solution a few moments ago. Just look between the lines and you'll see the divine solution was just facing my intertwined pain and convolution. What I fear most is that this host won't be capable of doing the hardest task that many struggle so much with that they go ghost. What leaves me in dread isn't that I'll end up dead, but instead I'll live with this chip that I won't ever be normal. I can't keep things formal because the life that I walk isn't some sugar and rainbow talk. No, I'm hurt, and being alone makes me revert to the things I wish I never had the pleasure of meeting. I'm talking pain and bleeding, abuse and false greeting, loss and regret with no offset, just straight tears, and I'm a walking vet, throwing band-aids on me and saying I'm fine and try and thug this shit out, like my signs aren't right in front of me because of the thin line I walk between what's mine and a better kind. But I don't like how gross I'm feeling, like I'm doing the most to keep things civil. But this shit's destructive. With recent days, I've been trying my best not to phase my anger with rational thinking. Can't believe mere words have me sinking. This is a sign that the boat's leaking, and this band-aid shit won't help the reeking odor of the obvious. I won't deny me no longer. Yes, no longer will I go killmonger on life because of who's more wronger. And I know that don't make sense, but in my defense, not much makes sense to me, hence why I must commence some time to better understand me. No offense. I want to be happy and content, but with all the loud sounds that comes inbound, I'm ill-prepared for another round. But if Creed has taught me anything, is that though I bleed, I get back up like a slave that's free from his shackles. I plant a seed, and with this patience and tranquility, I'll watch that sucker grow into a better me. feeding it water and a grade A feed. Heed me, heed. I leave those confused with this note. If you can't take the steps to heal, it's no different than doing nothing at all. After fall, life hands us the next season. If we can't learn to take it to the jaw, what good are we to ourselves? Y'all call your most trusted friends to stall, and to have a support system is fine. But there's days where we must acknowledge our own. With no one around, alone, no phone. And if you ain't grown, now's the perfect time to pwn the you that's keeping it from happening. Hone that inner peace like the prophets of Greece that preached to be stoic and feast on the knowledge of betterment. Settlement only happens after contentment and not before resentment. I meant to speak earlier about this, to speak on our fate. I just had to isolate. All right, guys, this is me after the poem and, you know, my, I guess, you made it to the end of the podcast. All right. So during these segments, usually what I like to do is explain where I'm coming from, explain certain things that might have been confusing, and just kind of break down the poem itself. First and foremost, because I thought I was being clever, I spelled out isolated for the actual first chunk, like the first paragraph of the poem. Wish I could screenshot it and like show it to you guys, but pretty much I spelled it out by saying, I think with all this anger and pain, and then I go on to say situate, so IS, overnight, ISO, long actions, so L, after the fact, A, takes more space, T, evaporate, E, and then dread, so D. And I actually, throughout the poem, not throughout, but like, after that, I acknowledged the fact that I actually spelled out isolated. I said, if you notice, I spelled out my solution a few moments ago. And what I really was trying to say by that is just, I knew I needed to isolate. You know, I already knew what I needed to do, but I'm fearful of doing it, is really what I was trying to say in this poem. That I was so, you know, scared of facing me. You know, I'd sweep things under the rug and whatnot, and pretty much clutter up my environment. You know, I say it takes more space than litter. But yeah, that's pretty much the explanation for that. Then I go on to say, and when I finally take a look at myself, all I got to do is blow in the fake meat melts. So what I mean by that is, like, you know, I put on this front, always say I'm fine, always listen to people. But when I sit here and face myself, I know I'm just lying to myself. I'm lying to people around me to feel, in a sense, okay about everything. You know, it's delusional, you know, to sit here and lie to myself. I think a lot of people do that because of, one, maybe they don't want others to worry about them. They don't want to sit here and express themselves. I do that faithfully. And I shouldn't. So in this poem, I'm saying, like, you know, this is what I do. I said, what I fear most is that this host won't be capable of doing the hardest task that many struggle so much with that they go ghost. So what I was saying here was, let me break that down. I said, what I fear most is that this host. So what I'm saying is, what I fear is that me, because I'm the host, right? The host of me. What I fear most is that this host won't be capable of doing the hardest task. The hardest task is facing me. The hardest task for anybody is facing themselves. It's going to be the hardest thing to do. Why? Because we have so much layers. We have so many things that we've gone through, so many things that we have done that we might not be proud of. Facing ourselves is one of the most difficult things to do in life. I truly believe that, because you have to take a step back and acknowledge who you are. It's a very intense confrontational thing. Now, you can either love yourself, or you can sit here and, being realistic, hate yourself because of the actions you've taken or the situations that, you know, that have gone on in your life. So when I said what I fear most is that this host won't be struggled, I'm saying what I fear is facing me, and that this task that so many people do. You know, it's a hard task. So many people go ghost. And what I mean by that, you can take that as in a couple different ways, right? When I say going ghost, going ghost normally, you know, in modern lingo terms, just means, like, you know, abandoning or, you know, ignoring it, neglecting it, leaving it alone, leaving, whatever. Ghost could mean people that sat here and couldn't live with themselves, trying to face themselves. They couldn't live with it. Like, I'm going that deep, literally, you know? And then you have other people that are delusional, like me, that sit here and know what they need to do, right? But rather than acknowledging and facing the problem, I neglect it. I go ghost. And then I say, what leaves me in dread isn't that I'll end up dead, but instead I'll live with this chip that I won't ever be normal. And what I want to acknowledge there is that I'm not saying I'd sit here and, you know, do something unthinkable, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and take my own life because of going ghost. But instead, I'll live with this chip that I'm so messed up, man, that I won't be able to be what I perceive as normal. You know, I mean, there's no real such thing as normal, but being perceived as content, you know, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm just being real. You know, I said I can't keep things formal because the life that I walk isn't some sugar and rainbow talk. So what I mean by that is, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but to explain that further, I can't continue to put up a front. I can't continue to neglect my life and to sit here and think things are fine, you know? When certain situations happen in our lives, we like to cope in, you know, different ways. The way I cope is to almost downplay what goes on, you know, in my life and processing certain situations that happen in my life. So I can no longer do that. And I'm hoping that a lot of people can no longer sit here and neglect those situations. You know what I mean? You ever gone through something and somebody that has heard what you've gone through has gone, man, that's, you know, that was pretty messed up. And you're sitting here going like, yeah, I mean, I guess. Like, you know, you're downplaying it. I can no longer go on formally like that. I can no longer be like, you know, it is what it is. I can't do it. I said, no, I'm hurt. And being alone makes me revert to the things I wish I never had the pleasure of meeting. So what I'm saying is I'm not comfortable with being alone as much as anybody else would be, you know, because you have to sit here and be alone with you. So it makes me revert to the things that I wish I never had the pleasure of meeting. So what I'm saying there is it makes me revert back to this mindset. It makes me rethink about certain situations, certain people, certain things, you know, that I haven't been particularly proud of, or it traumatized me. Being alone makes me reflect, and it's super chaotic, is what I'm saying. I'm talking pain, and you know, I'm going through a list. I'm talking pain and bleeding, abuse and false greeting, loss and regret, with no offset. And I'm a walking vet. I want to say a doctor, but vet rhymed. So that's why I said walking vet. You know, I said throwing band-aids on me and saying I'm fine to try and thug this shit out. Like, my signs aren't right in front of me because of the thin line I walk between what's mine and a better kind. So what I'm saying is to break that down, right? So I'm saying I keep saying I'm fine. I keep saying I'm fine. I keep saying I'm fine. And what that's effectively doing, right, is preventing me from not only acknowledging the problem, but growing stronger from it. So I'm saying I'm walking this fine line. There's this fine line that I'm walking where I acknowledge that if I sat down and reflected and started to understand myself and to get in the lab and to sit here and heal, I can be off to a better kind, not what's mine right now, where I'm harboring on to all these things. I said, but I don't like how gross I'm feeling. So what I'm saying is, yes, I understand I'm walking this line, but I don't like how I'm feeling. Like, I want to change. So I said, like, I'm doing the most to keep things civil, but this is destructive. So what I'm saying is I keep going back to the I'm fine. And what that effectively does is bottling up, right? You know how when you shake a soda bottle, it starts to bubble up at the top. So what I'm trying to replicate there is that when I keep bottling it up, man, and keep shaking the bottle, it's this buildup. So it's becoming destructive. So with recent days, I've been trying my best not to phase my anger with rational thinking. So what I mean by that is I don't want to be emotional when making judgment calls. And what I mean by that is not only verbally, but physically, mentally, and spiritually. I don't want to be so angry that I deceive myself with my actions, you know, because when you're angry, you're not really thinking. When you're sad, you're not really thinking about what's the right thing to do. You're thinking out of sadness. You're thinking out of anger. Okay, what would I do if I'm angry right now? So I said, well, recent days, I'm going to try my best not to phase that. You know what I mean? Like not to intertwine them. I said, I can't believe mere words have me sinking. What I mean by that is I can't believe that somebody talking to me, right, or disapproved of something that I did or an argument even, right, had me in a spiral of anger. Like, I can't believe that, because it's to acknowledge this idea that I could have kept my cool. I could have sat here and approached it differently. So to sit here and acknowledge, right, when you've, in a sense, messed up or, in a sense, acted out of character, right? That's essentially what I'm saying. Like, I can't believe I acted out of character. That wasn't me. I said, this is a sign, because it wasn't me, this is a sign that the boat's leaking. And this Band-Aid, this I'm fine, won't help the reeking odor of the obvious. So what I'm saying is, saying I'm fine when clearly I'm not is not helping anything. You know, it's obvious I'm not fine is what I'm saying. I said, I won't deny me no longer. And what I mean by that is I won't continue to not consider how I'm feeling. I say, yes, no longer will I go Killmonger on life. Now, this is more of a Marvel reference. I know a lot of my audience have seen Black Panther, but I like to reiterate, Killmonger is the antagonist of Black Panther, right? And his whole ideology is based off revenge, bitterness, and anger. He is acting out of his anger and his emotion. And in a lot of ways, right? I mean, I'm not justifying his actions, right? But in a lot of ways, he has the right to feel how he feels because, you know, they killed his father. But I'm saying I will no longer go about that way. I will no longer approach life with anger fuel. I'm fine where I'm not, and continue to harbor that Killmonger bitter mentality. So that's what I'm saying. And then I said, no longer will I go Killmonger on life because of who's more wronger. And what I'm saying by that is, like, I'm not going to sit here and be argumentative about situations or with conversations I've had with people or interactions anymore. I'm not going to do that. What I'm essentially saying is I'm dropping all of it. I'm going to live my life carefree. And also I used wronger because it rhymed. And I said, and I know that don't make sense. So what I'm saying is I know that didn't rhyme. I know wronger isn't a word. So that, it's a word, but it's not in this context, right? I said, I know that don't make sense, but in my defense, not much makes sense to me. Hence why I must commence some time to better understand me. And so what I mean by that is not a lot of stuff isn't making sense to me. Right. I'm sitting here harboring things, very acting out of anger and bitterness and doing things that I can look back on and be like, man, I could have gone about that better. That shouldn't have been what I've done. It's not to say like, oh, that wasn't me, but it's to say that that was me. Right. But I'm confused as to why I went about it that way. So I'm saying, I know that doesn't make sense of what I said, but it also doesn't make sense what I'm going through. I said, which is why I'm going to take time to figure out why, you know, and better understand who I am as a person. And I said, no offense. So what I mean by that is like, hey, you know, I'm about to worry about myself for a little bit. You know, like I got to focus on me. So no offense. I said, I want to be happy and content. But with all the loud noise that comes inbound, I'm ill prepared for another round. So what I'm saying is, I want to sit here and strive towards that, but I'm so ill-equipped with everything else right now, right? Like I don't have a good foundation for me, so I'm not prepared for anything else. I said, with all the loud sounds, what I mean by loud sounds is like just everyday living, everyday life, right? And when I said I'm ill prepared for another round, right? I was kind of trying to portray that as like boxing. right? That's why I said in the next sentence, but if Creed, the actual boxing movie, right? But if Creed has taught me anything, is that though I bleed, I get back up like a slave that's freed from his shackles. So what I'm saying is, like, though I am, if there's one thing I like to give myself credit for, is I'm very, very, very persistent. And what I mean by that is what could go wrong can go wrong, but I'm going to keep living. So what I'm saying is, even though life is hitting me right now and my foundation is swivel, I will keep moving forward, is what I'm saying there. I said, I plant a seed, and with patience and tranquility, I'll watch that sucker grow into a better me. And what I'm saying is, from here on, I'm going to focus on my peace. I'm going to isolate myself for a little bit and understand and gain the knowledge of me. And with patience, right? Because this isn't a one-day project. It takes time. It takes time to heal. It takes time to grow. And tranquility, I'll watch that sucker grow into a better me. I'll watch myself get better. I'll grow and develop myself like a tree. You see what I'm saying? Feeding it what it needs to be fed. You know, exposing it to what it needs to be exposed to. You know, positive things. That's what I'm saying. I said feeding it water and grade A feed. So water and grade A feed, kind of like an animal, right? Like feeding it the right stuff. I said, heed me, heed. So hear me, hear is what I'm really saying. I said, I leave those who's confused with this note. I said, if you can't take the steps to heal, it's no different than doing nothing at all. Because you're essentially doing nothing. If you're going to sit here and continue to be in pain, right, and then sit in it, it's okay to grieve. But when you sit in it and do nothing, you are not effectively healing, man. Like, you got to heal. I said, after fall, life hands us the next season. So what I'm saying is, you know, fall, the season. Life is going to hand us the next season. So as your life progresses, right, you're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. And if you're not ready for it, right, if you're not ready for it, life will consume you. So I said, after fall, life hands us the next season. And if we can't learn to take it to the jaw, what good are we to ourselves? So I'm saying, if you are not equipped, if you don't have the armor, if you don't better understand yourself and strengthen yourself, I said, what good are you doing yourself? Right? Because at the end of the day, we got to learn to love ourselves more than anything. What good are you to yourself? What good are you to yourself? Better yet, anyone around you, if you are ill-equipped, if any time you have a bad day, you don't know how to sit here and handle it, what good are you? Learn to understand, humble, and better yourself is what I'm saying. I said, y'all call your most trusted friends to stall. What I mean by that is whenever life gets tough and you're really in the ringer, you'll go to your friend for that validation, or your best friend, or your boyfriend, or your girlfriend, which is fine. A support system is great, but at the end of the day, you got to go home to you. At the end of the day, you close your eyes and you're you, right? Don't use your friends as a scapegoat. They can only do so much, because you, at the end of the day, understand you the best. That's what I'm saying. And it's not to denounce your friends or anything like that. I think a solid support system is fine. I actually even said that in the poem. I said, and to have a support system is fine. It's gonna have it. I said, but there's days where we must acknowledge on our own, with no one around, alone. There's going to be days where you're going to be alone. There's going to be days where you are by yourself. There's nobody around you. It is just you. Those are the days that matter, because it's no longer, oh, I wonder what Jeffrey's doing, because Jeffrey's at work. So you have you. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Your friends can know you nook and cranny. They still won't know all of you. Does that make sense? I said, with no one around, alone, no phone. It was just, you know, kind of adding on to that, just being alone by 8. I said, and if you ain't grown, now's the perfect time to pwn the you that that's keeping it from happening. So what I'm saying is, this is the perfect time to get in the lab, sit here, understand, and acknowledge who you are as a person while you're alone. But sit in stillness. Sit in silence. Don't let the chaos talk to you. Seek enlightenment. That's what I was talking about before the poem. This isolation idea of self-healing. Sitting down in silence and acknowledging who you are. I'm not saying literally, but you know what I mean? If that looks like reading books, read books. If that means working out where you're in the zone, work out, be in the zone. If that means going for a walk, go for a walk. If that means hiking, go hiking. Figure out what brings you the most peace and tranquility, because everybody's peace and tranquility is going to look different. Everybody has a different definition, and everybody has a different physicality to what that looks like. I said, hone that inner peace like the prophets of Greece that preached to be stoic. So I'm going to do a podcast on this soon, but the idea of stoicism, right, is this idea and I want to make this perfectly clear. Stoicism isn't the practice of neglecting one's emotions. That is not the case. To be stoic is to understand your emotions, to sit here and acknowledge and understand it and move forward. It is to not let what used to bother you. It is to acknowledge what happened and to move forward. I'm telling you, I've been trying to study more on stoicism before I actually sit here and do a podcast on it. So stay tuned for that. I said, and feast on the knowledge of betterment. And I think that's kind of explanatory. So just, you know, digest stuff that's going to better you is what I'm saying. I said, settlement only happens after contentment. Once you are content, I think contentment is one of the hardest things for me personally to achieve, because my version of contentment is hand in hand with satisfaction. Right now, I know a lot of people who are just happy with where they're at. Right now, I am not. So I'm saying settlement happens when you're content. When you are where you want to be, you're settling. You're like, all right, cool. And that settlement is with that contentment. It's not like, oh, rise and grind. You know what I mean? Like, oh, don't sit here and settle. What I'm trying to get at is, when you are content, when you are happy, when you are looking around your life, your world, and you're like, yep, this is where I want to be. That is that settlement. I said, and it's not before resentment. You can't be resentful and be settled. You can't be resentful and be content. If you are harboring things, when no matter what that looks like, for a person, for a place, for a thing, for a situation, you aren't where you want to be. Because that resentment will forever have that power over you unless you sit here and strive to be stoic and strive to heal and say, you know what? I'm better than this. And then I said, I meant to speak earlier about this. So what I meant to say was, I meant to do a podcast about this earlier. I said, to speak on our fate. I just had to isolate. What I meant by to speak on our fate, what I meant by that is, to speak on our fate, to sit here and speak on what could be, what we can achieve, what we can strive for. That's what I'm looking at. I just had to isolate. And what I really was saying there was, I just needed time for myself. And I'm going to continue to do that. This poem, I want to make things perfectly clear. This poem is me talking from my heart. But not everything is the most recent me, if that makes sense. This is a buildup of me talking about my life throughout the years and how I feel throughout the years. That is not current me. But I think if I don't sit here and be a little bit transparent with you guys, it almost makes some people feel as if they're alone when they're not, you know? I too struggle with this. I still do. It's all a part of being human. I still do. So that was the whole idea behind this whole thing, this lesson of isolation, because it has been seen as intimidating and, oh, I don't want to do it in the past. But it doesn't have to be. It really doesn't. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be looked at in a negative light. There's been plenty of times, time and time again, where it is shown what good healing and self-growth and self-love looks like. We can no longer be fearful of ourselves, but accepting. We must push forward and be accepting of ourselves so we can then love ourselves. So that we can sit here and be happy with waking up. We can sit here and have good relationships with everybody else. When situations arise, you don't falter. You don't shake. You don't hide. Because you know you. You know what you're capable of. You know what you can do. And you're strengthened. You're confident. You walk in understanding that at the end of the day, you're going to be all right. And that's what I mean when I say isolate. Isolate for a little bit. Figure out who you are as a person. Figure it out. And then when you are ready, you can show that. You can show that person. All right. This has been your host, Joshua Horn. I will be isolating again. I hope this message was clear, concise. If you guys agree with anything or disagree with anything, just let me know, reach out to me. I love having dialogue. There's no wrong answers. This is just my own subjective analysis. So, whatever you guys have or any inputs, just let me know. But on that note, I'm out. Love you guys. Bye.